Well, for our scripture reading this morning, I'd like for us to look in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 is where we'll get our scripture from. And in case some of you may have detected a little difference in my countenance, do you know what it is? My wife, it's been a month now, I think, since I did this, started this. One morning she said, "Where is Bob?" And that did bother me a little bit. But things have calmed down. Richard said this morning something about the cookie duster. Something like that. So, Scott, did you get any of that? So you just have to bear with it, and I'm the same sweet guy I always was. Did Les say amen? This evening, we talked about perhaps having a kind of an open meeting. So often during the course of a year, things happen in our lives. Some of them are notable. Some of them you haven't forgotten, you'll never forget. I thought we'd have just a little time of sharing. And you may have had some experience in your life. And it's had an impact on your life. Kind of like a testimonial service in which you tell how the Lord saved your soul and what it means to you. And that there are a lot of experiences in life that we have. And they're worthy of remembering because we learn so much from the experiences in life. And we value them and we treasure them. So tonight, we're going to open it up, and you may have something right now you're thinking about. Oh, I've just been waiting for the opportunity to share that. Well, tonight, we'd like to hear it, and we'll rejoice together. I'd like this morning to read from Matthew 24, beginning at verse 32. Needless to say, there's a statement made in this passage by the Lord Jesus that aroused my attention and caused me to put together some thoughts I'd like to share with you. Beginning at verse 32 of Matthew 24, it says, "Now, learn a parable of the fig tree when his branch is tender and putteth forth leaves. Ye know that summer is nigh. And so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And shall we just bow again in a word of prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are gathered here in this place, this day, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We seek to see the face of our blessed Lord shining forth from all that we read in Scripture, the person of this wonderful Savior that we've trusted as our own. And oh, Lord, this day make him real to our hearts. What he has said in the Word of God, we weigh ever so carefully. We seek to discern the full meaning of all that he has said to us, these words carrying weight for each one of us. They're so important to each one of us. Now, we make application of these things to our own hearts and lives. So, Lord, we thank thee and praise thee today for the Lord Jesus, for the Word of God, and for this account that we have in Scripture of words spoken by our Savior. Bless them to our own heart's need. In the name and for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen. Needless to say, what I have just read, it does cause thoughts to come into your mind. We're thinking about hereafter. We're thinking about what will it be like for us. Maxine left us a year ago. And we talk about this. We mention it frequently that that loved one has gone to be with the Lord. We believe that. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We believe that. We believe that Maxine knows all about the perfect security that you have in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. Has value for those that have trusted the Savior. Here our Lord has reminded us of conditions that existed in the world at one time, and as a result of those conditions, he acted, he did something. I'm talking about the days of Noah. We have an account of this in the book of Genesis, beginning there in about the fourth, fifth, sixth chapters. We'll take a look at those briefly. But it is a warning to us. I accept it as a warning. The Lord Jesus is coming. Oh, I believe that with all my heart. He's coming. Maybe today. I certainly don't know. Well, Scripture says that the day and the hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. I'm not about to tell you, hey, I made a prediction. The Lord's coming next week. Yeah, well, something else foolish you said. I don't know. I don't know of anybody that does know, but God, and I'm satisfied with that. He knows when he's coming. But there's something else that follows this at his coming. Is there something expected of us in the course of this life? Should we act responsibly? Should we look with real interest upon what he has spoken in his word? Is it to be taken seriously, what he says? I think so. At least in the course of my life, knowing the Lord for over 50 years, that it really means something to me to know that what he has said, he has said. And again, there's so much that seemed to come out of this. It says that, you know, heaven and earth may pass away, but the word of God, it shall not pass away. It endureth forever. This word that we have this morning, God's word. Think of all of the books that have been written about the word of God. They'll pass away. Think of all the books that people have written about various things in life. Things that they have accomplished. Things that have been achieved. Historical accounts of all sorts of things that have happened in the world pass away. Won't need it. This word endures forever. I tell you, when you read it very carefully. And ask God to be very kind to you and let you understand what you're reading. Sometimes people read the Word of God and they have a wrong interpretation of what it says. I read a story just recently about a fellow that had been concerned about dying for a long time. He was an older man. He took his wife and he wanted to move to some area where it was very pleasant. and life expectancy, as I think he put it. It was long, long life expectancy. So he visited some places, resort areas and retirement areas and all this, and finally he arrived at one, and he was asking this fellow, he said, what's the climate like here? So it's nice, very nice. Average temperature about 7 degrees year round. Nice. He asked him a variety of things about what you would be interested in a place like that. Then he said, what is the death rate like here? The man looked at him a little puzzled at first, but then he said, you don't know? I said, no, no, I want to know. He says it's the same it is everywhere. Just one for every person. One per person, that's what it is. That's all it is. It is appointed unto men to die. After that, the judgment. We're going to die. Beloved, we're going to die one day. If our Lord be not come, physically we're going to die. Then what? Then what? That should captivate our attention. I want to know what's going to happen when I die. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, in speaking and addressing this problem, I think, he says, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That will terminate when he comes again to rapture away the church and take us to be with himself. Everything is going to change. We will receive glorified bodies. We will be with the Lord. What a change is going to take place when he comes. And we've already introduced the thought, we don't know when he's coming. We say it's imminent. That means it could be any time. And we're expecting him any time. At least I hope we are. Sometimes I look up and I kind of force myself to do that. Lord, it could be now. Wouldn't it be something? I'm looking up and here I am consciously aware that he is coming. And lo, there he is. And I go up. And I'm changed. No more aches and pains. All those old things that ache and hurt and stuff, gone. I'm going to be with him and like him forever. That's what's going to take place. You say, can you say that with any degree of certainty? Yes, I can. I sure can. I've already mentioned that it is appointed unto men once to die. You see, a long time ago, God did not plan for man to die. We forget that sometimes. Something had to happen to bring about this condition that we're faced with today, in which we die physically. You see, the original creation of man, he was perfect, the perfect man. He had any sin. No sin. He never disobeyed God. But Adam and Eve did something, and God wasn't pleased with it, and he'd already told them, if you disobey me, the day you do that, you will die. And they disobeyed the Lord, both of them. And they died, not physically. They were still alive physically, but they died spiritually. Something happened. It created a distance between the perfect man that had been created and the perfect God that had created them. Sin came into the picture and it spoiled everything. And that's what's been bothering mankind down through the ages. Some people don't accept it. I'm a good person. I've always been a good person. I've always tried to do good things. They don't make any acknowledgement of the total depravity of a soul that's been born into the world. That we are born with that innate thing in us, the flesh, which is sin. The flesh. the world, the flesh, and the devil. There are three things we have to reckon with. But now here we have this added dimension of something that's happening, the sin in the world. We are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now it's got to be fixed. It's got to be fixed now. Who knows how to fix it? Turn it out to mankind. I guarantee you, you'll get all kind of answers on how to fix it. What you need is religion. Boy, what you need to do is go join the church and get baptized. That's what you need. Bring your life out. Clean up them sorry ways of yours. That's what you need to do. You can do all those things and still be lost. And maybe many of us in this very room have tried reformation. Have you ever tried to reform and try to do a little better? Man, I am doing so sorry. I am just awful. I look at myself sometime and I don't even like myself. If only people knew what I was, they wouldn't like me. Isn't it strange that people can reach a frame of mind where they think that they can make themselves all right with God? They can fix the problem. You can't do it on your own. God had a plan for fixing the problem. He introduced the whole concept of sacrifice for sin. In the Old Testament, with the offering of all of those animal offerings that were placed upon Jewish altars. That's what caused God to hold back his hand in judgment upon the world and upon poor sinners. That blood. In fact, we introduced early on the fact that without the shedding of the blood, there can be no remission of sin. Somebody's got to die. Somebody's got to pay for what's been done that's wrong. You remember that story about Abraham and Isaac? Man, that's a stirring story. It grips my heart every time I read that. I think about that young fella in the prime of life walking along there with his old daddy. And he says, Father, I see everything here for us, offering a sacrifice, but where is the sacrifice? Where is that lamb? Where is that sacrifice? Abraham very sadly says, son, God will provide for himself a sacrifice. And that's what he had to do, beloved. It ain't nothing any one of us in this room or anybody that has ever been in this world can do to save his soul. Only God can save sinners. Dead in trespasses and sin. We had the mark upon us. We had that in us that separated us from God. Communion and fellowship that was broken there when Adam and Eve transgressed. But it can be fixed, and God fixed it. He sent his beloved Son into the world. The Lamb of God that could take away the sin of the world. We've been celebrating his coming. How wonderful it is. A little maiden, Jewish maiden, gave birth to a child. She was a virgin. The Spirit of God planted that seed within her body, and she gave birth to the sinless Son of God. He is our Savior. He grew into manhood. And for 3 years or so, he ministered to mankind. Oh, we have the record here in the Word of God of how he ministered to the world in which we live today. He did many wonderful things. His power to do things over and beyond anything men had ever seen before. Oh, it was so remarkable. He did something that we can't forget, those of us that know him. One day he died for us upon a cross. Men didn't mean it to provide the means whereby God would save sinners. That wasn't the reason men nailed him to that cross. This world we live in today hated him. They rejected him. Couldn't see any beauty in him. Couldn't see anything in him worthwhile. Would not have this man to rule over us, Jesus of Nazareth. But God said he is the only means and the only way. And I have these words from his own blessed lips. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will ever come to the Father but by me. Man, that narrows it down to I ain't got no more problems about how to get to heaven. I know how to get to heaven. I tell you what sometimes just grips your soul. You tell somebody that's dying. I mean, physically they're dying. They're fixing to leave this world. You need the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Trust Him. Just by faith, reach out and say, like a thief upon a cross, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, and He will save your soul. And that's what God did with the person of the Lord Jesus. There upon that cross, the wrath and the judgment of God. Oh, those hours of darkness, how that grips your soul. There upon that cross, darkness, like men had never seen before. Oh, that darkness. But in that darkness, the cry went up, oh, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Even in the depths of that experience of paying the penalty for our sin, it so overwhelmed the Son of God. He knew no sin. But God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He suffered under that penalty. I'm so thankful when that experience was nearing the end. He said, this is finished. It's finished. Oh, I treasure those words. It's finished. Nothing else needs to be done. Don't any man ever trifle or mess with what's been done here on this cross. You think you're going to work your way to heaven? You'll work your way straight into hell if you're dependent on your good works to go to heaven. You're working yourself into nothing but down that broad road that leads to destruction. God won't let anybody mess with this and say that there's some other way to heaven. Oh, you get saved by trusting Him as your Savior. That's for right now. That takes care of everything now. But now you've got to keep yourself saved by being a good boy, a girl. How silly, how ridiculous. If I suppose, said, listen, if there's any other way to do it other than the way God has done it, then Christ died in vain. He hung upon that cross. He experienced all of this. But it didn't really mean what you think it means, that He paid it all. Not all of our sin was paid for there. It's not what the Word of God said. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that death upon that cross, being made sin for us so that we can be made the righteousness of God, is finished. And the child of God that has that assurance of salvation, eternal life in Christ, I tell you, you've got something. You got something you can hold on to for all eternity because it's real. It's real. This is not just puffing something up and trying to give you a good feeling. Listen, based upon the Word of God, that is the truth. That's truth. And you can stand there. And God will honor your stand there. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will fill your little heart, mind, and soul. I'm satisfied with the Lord Jesus. What He did, I'm satisfied with it. I'm not trying to work my way to heaven. Now, after you get saved, please, please, dedicate yourself to serving Him. Learn all you can from the Word. Desire to know the will of God more and more every day you live and just work for Him. Not to get saved, but because you are saved. You're a child of God. You belong to Him. You're not at your own. You were purchased with a price. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. That is wonderful. I'm saved. I'm saved. God in His wrath will never touch me. You know, I want to get to this because I want to say something about Noah, because that's where we started. Things got so bad on the face of the earth that God looked down and he said, "It grieves me that I have created a man." It's not as if God was caught by surprise, but he knew exactly how this thing would turn out, I'm sure, because he is omniscient. But judgment would one day fall. The Lord Jesus Christ is setting before us a situation that's very real. There's so many things that you can use to illustrate this, but it says, but God looking down and was grieved because of the trends of mankind and how they had worked things out on their own, and they were going their own way, and they were just having a ball. You know, I have to say a little report to you in case you don't know it. That's what we're doing today in the world. God don't matter. Hey, man, I'm a free spirit. Yeah, you're free, all right. You ain't going no further than Satan will let you go. And I'm telling you, as one that knows, he'll put you on a short leash before it's over with. He did me. I thought I had all kind of freedom to do anything I wanted to, anytime I wanted to. He kept drawing me in a little closer. The greater my sin became and the more I ignored any overtures of God's grace and mercy, he tightened me down. I tell you, he'll choke you to death. That's Satan, the god of this world. He hates you. He hates God. And he wants to see you perish and end up in the lake of fire where he's going. That's what he wants. But the Lord Jesus Christ is a life giver. And out of all of this, God looked around and he said, but Noah was looked upon by God as a righteous man, a man that sought to please God. And he told him, he said, Noah, I want you to build a big boat, an ark. You know, it took 120 years. I've got all the details right here. He lived in that age in which everything was ripening for God's judgment. Gave him the perfect dimensions for building this big boat. Now, note, he didn't give him any details on when the flood was going to come or when the boat was going to be needed, but I want you to start building this boat. And that's what Noah did. You know, this should hold some special interest for us because that's what the Lord Jesus is warning us about. He says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We're living, beloved, whether we like to think of it. We think we live in an enlightened age in which man's getting better and better, and he's learning more and more. And, you know, that's a lie. That's a lie. Actually, things are not evolving into something that's better and better. The secular humanists teach us and seek to instruct us that man can do anything. There's nothing beyond the reach of man. Man is exalted. Man is God. Man is a poor sinner, lost and doomed. And he's on the broad road that leads down to destruction. But the way it is portrayed to us today is that we're growing upward. We're getting better and better. We're getting smarter and smarter. Unbeknownst to anybody that swallows that, you're going down. Man's been going downhill ever since the first sin that was ever committed. Going down. Isn't that sad? Going down. But he thinks he's going up. He thinks he's going up. It's an illusion. It's something that Satan has created for the world, that they might deny the truth of God and believe a lie. Oh, you can get good enough to please God and to enter heaven one day? Oh, no, you won't. No, you won't. There ain't but one way into heaven. I've told you. the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, is a gift from God. Oh, thank you, Lord, today for your wonderful gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Mankind, quit boasting and accept what God has said. Appointed unto men once to die after this judgment. Judgment is coming. Noah built that ark. Took him 120 years, according to what we're told. Talk about preaching and the preaching being in vain. Sometimes fellows like myself that preach and go places and preach to people, be it a little bitty number or a whole lot, you always like to think, maybe somebody there got the message. If I just knew one person got the message, it wouldn't be in vain. You don't want the message to be completely in vain. You want somebody to receive something that will benefit them. Noah did all of this for 120 years and not one soul responded and went into the ark. It says that there were 8 souls. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. 8 souls in number that were saved with preaching for 120 years. Noah, I apologize. I ain't complaining no more. If people don't respond to what I say from the Word of God, so be it. I can't help it. Only the Spirit of God can ever convict a soul of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And I know it. I know it. I've often wondered, suppose just one soul had said, Noah, I'm going to join you. I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to get in the boat when you get in the boat. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. I'm going to close by telling you something that I read not too long ago. Very interesting. It happened just a few years ago. It was put in tract form. It's a lot like tsunami. Man, hasn't that caused a stir among people around the world? One great big old wave. Some say 30 feet, 50 feet. If you've ever been out on the ocean when it was in, it was mad. And you've seen these big old waves coming, frightening, frightening. Especially if you get in a little rowboat. Don't you know that was a horrible thought when those people standing on those beaches the other day and here comes this wall of water. That don't spell nothing but trouble. You know, somebody mentioned something. With this enlightened age in which we live and we know so much about everything, why didn't they warn them? They know where an earthquake takes place. Knew that one took place right out in the Indian Ocean. Knew that something was going to result from it. Why didn't they warn them? You know, there's something about this that mystifies me. People had no warning. A wave of water came. You know what it did. Now they say 150,000 people perished. Well, this account that I'm about to tell you about, it took place back a few years ago. In fact, it was in 1980, I'm told. A man by the name of Truman, Harry Truman, not the president now, but a fellow that he lived right in the very shadows of a place out in the state of Washington, Mount St. Helens. He had this beautiful resort there. People came there and they enjoyed their visit there. And here they were, they could look over and see this mountain, snow-capped mountain. Every once in a while, some smoke comes out of that thing. People kept saying, they wonder if that thing's going to blow up. It's a volcano. Well, Harry Truman, he was a hard-headed, crusty old guy. They kept warning Harry. In fact, some of these fellows that know all about volcanoes says, Harry, that thing's going to blow. You better get all that you value and leave that place. You know, Harry liked his cocktails, gin tonic, martinis, anything like that, you know, that kind of loosens you up. He'd go out and sit on the veranda and
smoke a big cigar, drink another martini. I ain't worried about that old mountain. Nothing's going to happen, but according to what we have, that day, Sunday, May the 18th, 1980, an explosion took place. It blew away the whole top of that mountain. I mean, it just blew it. In a second, in a moment of time, 1,300 feet of the mountain, boom, is gone. We're told that 400 million tons of ash were thrown into the Earth's atmosphere. I would call that something that the Environmental Protection Agency ought to look into. Man, that's spoiling the atmosphere. That's not good. Trees 150 feet high blown over like matchsticks. As far away as 17 miles from where the blow took place. 200 square miles were devastated. Massive mudslide pushed water out of the lake, this beautiful lake that Harry had treasured so much that had drawn tourists and all of this. Hot gases, ash, rock, traveling at the speed of 200 miles per hour, destroyed everything in its path. That may still be in track form, but listen, the point is this. Harry was warned. You know, all Harry had to do was believe what some of these people were telling. Harry, the thing is going to blow up. We've got all the signs of this thing blowing. Noah preached 120 years and said, this place is going to be flooded. This boat will be needed. I'm telling you this morning, brother and sister in Christ, we need to tell this world God is coming in judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ says, just as it was in the days of Noah. Everything is usual. Marriage, buying, selling, working on a career, all the things that men like to do as usual, business as usual. And then the flood came. Then Mount St. Helens blew up. They never found Harry. Never found any evidence of the lodge or anything there. It's all buried. I'm asking you this morning to just be absolutely sure you know where you're going when you die. Be sure you know you're safe in Christ. If you are, you're in that ark of safety. Noah and his family were saved. If you're going to be saved and be in heaven one day, you better be in Christ. Judgment is coming. I tell you, there's signs everywhere. Now, we're not putting all of our trust in signs, but we can't ignore them, can we? Things are bad on the face of the earth. Men are doing things today you can't hardly believe man would do that. But they're doing it. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm coming again to receive unto myself. I'm going to receive unto myself them that have trusted me. As a child of God, aren't you thankful you trusted him? You're safe. You're safe. More likely, every one of us in this room this morning may have someone that we know, but we love, and they're not saved. Let's resolve, if you're going to make a New Year's resolution, let's resolve that we're going to tell them again. You say, I've told them and told them and told them. Let's tell them again. Let's tell them again. I don't want them to end up one day standing before God. He says, depart from me. Every one of you. Every one of you that have refused to accept what the grace of God has provided in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into the lake of fire. You'll burn forever and forever. No reprieve. Oh, God, have mercy. Let's purpose. We'll tell them again. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee again for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank thee for our time together this morning. Impress upon our hearts, Lord, that the only place of safety is in Christ. We're there, we worship and praise him, the Savior of sinners, in his own precious and worthy name. Amen.